Pastor said something this morning about the gifts being released like never before. Well, that's what this message is about. If we could open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to read the whole thing. And it's titled The Excellence of Love. It starts off and says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, it does not brag, it is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love, abide these three things. But the greatest of these is love." Amen? So how many know we've been through this scripture a bunch of times? We've read it a lot of times. I've used it many, many times as a reference. But the Lord showed me more of the context of this particular passage. And so what was going on here was Paul was talking to the church in Corinth. And at that time, Corinth was a wealthy trading center, but it was also known for being a wicked place. So it was hard for the church to be the church in the midst of all that wickedness. And it was hard not to conform to the things that were going on around them. And Paul is really trying to set them straight here. And so this is actually said to be one of the greatest, strongest, and deepest things that Paul ever said. And how many know Paul said a lot of deep things, a lot of great things. But this was considered to be among the greatest. What was happening here was he had observed that the church was seeking the gifts and not the God of the gifts. And that's a very big mistake, isn't it? So he discerned that, and then he observed that, and people were seeking the gifts. And so what was happening was they were trying to drum up the gifts. But at the same time, what Paul was seeing in the church was all of those things that are listed under what love is. And so it was his way of kind of, you know, setting the expectation for what his God's people were supposed to act like towards each other. And so the list, love is patient, love is kind. Paul was seeing that, you know, maybe the people were working very hard to operate in the gifts of prophecy and of knowledge and all of those great things, but the one thing that he didn't see was he didn't see the love of God operating among them. And so that being a very serious thing, Paul had to step in and he had to deal with that. And he did it with love, right? This is not, it's one of those things where sometimes when things are done in love, you might not get the message. But we need to get the message, because I believe that the same thing I got was God is going to release the gifts on the house. Now, when God begins to release the gifts, it's going to be very, very easy for the gift to become the priority. And so we're going to have to be careful that the gifts do not take priority over knowing Him, spending time with Him, seeking His will, seeking His direction. Because if the gifts become the main thing, I fear that what could happen is we get to the end of it all and God says, depart from me, I never knew you. Right? Weren't they saying, oh, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do all these great things in your name? They were pleading with him and he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Because there was no connection with the heart of God. And that's really where all of it should come from. It should be out of the relationship we have with God. See, we don't have to work up a relationship with God by going out and doing great things. It's just sitting at his feet. It's getting to know him. It's allowing him to do the work in us that needs to be done so that we don't make the gifts the first thing. You know, there was probably a lot of money to be made in that time. It was a wealthy place, and so maybe some thought, hey, you know, if I could drum up the gift of healing, I might have a business for myself. You know, if I could prophesy, if people could recognize the knowledge that I have, maybe they'll pay me for it. So the motivation was a very bad motivation. It wasn't motivated by the love of God. It was motivated by the love of the world, the love of self. So when we see these types of stories in the Bible, this is what I used to do when I was a very young Christian. I used to read these stories and go, shame on them. How could they do that? How could they seek the gifts before they seek God? And then the Lord showed me that there's a lot of that in myself, and I have to be careful. These stories, these illustrations are in there so that it's like holding up the mirror. And it's interesting that it uses a mirror as a reference further down in a different way, but it's interesting because it really is. We should be looking at that story, and first question we ask ourselves is this in me? Do we see this in the church? And that's the right response. It's reflecting and asking, Lord, is that in me? Is there some of that in me? And to some degree, there probably is some of that in all of us. Right, so we're meant to learn from these things. We're meant to look at these things and say, Lord, if there's anything of this in me, reveal it, and let's deal with it. You know, if Paul was standing here today, and he was talking to this church, think about the ministries that we have in the church, and I'm not saying this is the case, but maybe Paul would say, hey, if I could heal everyone that walked into this door, but had not love, it would mean nothing. If I could worship in a way that ushers everyone into the presence of God, whether they wanted to go or not, but have not love, it would profit me nothing. Think about some of the things that are going on here. And we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing the things that we're doing? Why am I serving in this ministry? Why do I find myself going out and doing these things? In the name of Jesus. Because we might find that it really has nothing to do with Jesus. And it might have everything to do with satisfying some need in ourselves to be acknowledged, to be recognized, to be praised. You believe that could be true? So think about the gifts that we hold most dear and ask that question. Why? Why, Lord? Are you in it? And the Holy Spirit will give you the honest answer to that question, won't he? Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. That's his love. His love is others-focused. Our love is self-centered. So why love? Why? Why is love the most important thing? 1 John 4:7-8. Says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Right? So it's possible. You see, we can get to the end and have him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," because we didn't know him. He is love. And if we're not acting in accordance with love, we have no connection with the Lord. God needs to use us to love his people. He chooses to do it that way. So if we've got a bunch of people, and I'm not saying that this is where we're at, but to some degree it exists, right? We come here on a Sunday, we sit, we talk, we listen, and we hear, and we say, good, good message, good, great, and then we go out there, and nothing changes. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So here, you know, Paul goes on after kind of saying, hey, look, guys, you really need to make God first and not the gifts. He goes out and he lays out all the expectations so that it's clear to them the things that they should be focusing on, the things that should be manifesting in within them. And that's where he goes on to list all of those things love is. Because, you know, we shouldn't take for granted that people know what love is, should we? You know, we're all coming from different places, and people have different perspectives about what love is. Some of their love is very perverted by the things that were done with them when they were young, and so their thought of love is perverted. It's very, very different from the love of God. And so, you know, it's there so that we can understand what the expectation is and what love looks like. Right? We should be patient with one another. We should be willing to toss aside our own agenda when it conflicts with what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us to do. Right? All those things. We should not keep record of wrongs. Right? We should not be bragging about the things that we have. We should be looking for opportunities to share those things that God has given us. Because they're not just for us. And then it goes on to say, love believes all things, which means that our first thought towards someone should be good and not judging based on what we see, judging in a negative way. Love hopes all things, meaning that we should pick up the cause of our brothers and sisters and that love is the default, not something that, you know, not everyone is guilty until proven innocent. And love endures all things is, you know, people are going to annoy us, right? People are going to get under our skin. People are not going to be the kind of people that we want to hang out with, but God has put us together. So this is the family. Look around, people. This is your family. So that's what I'll do once in a while. I'll just look around and say, yeah, I can say I love them. Yep, yep. I'm not looking at you, Isaac. So, you know, it's a way for me to test my heart. So if I have an issue with a brother or a sister, then I make that part of my prayer time. And I'll lift them up in prayer. And what is that? What happens when you lift up someone in prayer? God changes your heart for that person, right? We've all experienced that, right? So that's the response. And we should know. We should take account of where we're at with each other in the church. Because, you know, love manifests first in the house, right? I mean, you have to love your husband, you have to love your wife, you have to love your kids, and this is a place where the people know you better than anybody else, so this is where it's hard, right? You have to love inside your house, and then you have to be able to love in the church. Church is part of the proving ground before we can even think about going out and loving anybody else. So if we're struggling with loving within this small group of people right here, we got some work to do right here, right? You know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear, doesn't it? Well, I'll tell you what, I had such an awesome vision about this. 1 John 4:12 says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. Now, here's what I saw. I saw fear. And this is something that God is going after. You know, when he says the gifts are going to be released, there are warring angels that are pointed at your fear. And they're going to go after it. And they're going to go after it aggressively. This is what I saw. I saw fear being kicked, punched, kicked, pushed, all the way across the sanctuary. And then I watched it happening out in the parking lot. But it didn't just stop in the parking lot, it went all the way up the street, kicking it, punching. Fear. You've had your way too long. Be gone. And it didn't stop at the end of the street, it just kept going and going. These angels are coming, and they're going to kick the tar out of our fear, because that's what it's going to take for his love to be perfected in us. And for us to, you know, when his love is perfected in you, you're not even going to have to be pushed to witness to that lady at the grocery store. You're not going to be able to be stopped from doing it. See, that's the awesomeness of God. See, how many times have we been hearing this and we haven't really responded in the way that we should, but does he hold it against us? No. Does he point out our faults? No. What does he do? He sends an army of angels. He says, I'm going to deal with your fear. I'm going to get you to the place where you need to be. I'm going to cause you to be the people that I intended for you to be. I'm going to do it. Not by your strength. What does the Bible say? It was aggressive. Are you ready for the Lord to get aggressive with your fears? I know I am. You see, fear is self-centered and love is others-focused. So self-centeredness, it's going to be dealt with. But it's going to be dealt with in a loving way because he's a loving God. But make no mistake about it, it will be dealt with. Amen? Colossians 3, 12 to 14. So as to those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It says put on. What does that mean? That means it's a choice, right? We have to make a choice to love. It starts with that. It starts with the choice. It starts with the choice to say, Lord, I'm going to lay down my agenda. And if you would rather have me go and have coffee with somebody, when it's the last thing I feel like doing, if the Holy Spirit is moving you to do that, then you're going to do it. You're going to make the choice to do it. And then what happens is you create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can breathe on that and continue to grow it. But it's going to start with a choice. How many would say, I make the choice to love today? I've seen people in the church serving. If you look at what's going on, it's a serving with excellence. It appears to be all that it should be. But you know what? There's absolutely no room for leaders or for Holy Spirit to speak into that ministry. There's no room because it's really not a service dedicated to the Lord. It's a service dedicated to meet my own needs. I've seen this. You've probably seen it as well. Ministries can go on for a whole lifetime that do nothing more than satisfy a need. And so you have your reward in full. Okay? Consider yourself paid in full. But that's not what we want. Let the Lord in. Let the Lord touch those things. Let the Lord heal those things. And then you go out and you work for the Lord because he's good, isn't he? And because he needs me to love that person. He needs you to love that person. If you're not going to do it, he may raise somebody else up to do it, but wouldn't you rather just do it? How many want to get to the end and hear, well done? I know that's my heart. Lord, please let us get to the end and hear, well done. Please, God, don't let us get to the end and hear those words at a time when there's nothing left to do about it. That's it. It's all over but the crying. But as long as we have breath, guess what? Guess what? There's a chance to turn things around. There's a chance to get on board with what it is that he's doing and be about his business. Come on, we've been doing our own thing long enough. It's time. I believe he's going to begin to release the gifts in the church, and we better be ready, because those gifts are going to cause others to be grown, and they're going to cause others to be destroyed. So it's time to get right with God. It's time to really ask, Lord, if there's anything in me that chooses to glorify myself over you, let's heal that thing. Reveal it to me, Lord. And he will. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of discipline." You know, we always talk about the power part. We always talk about the sound mind or discipline part. But how about we start thinking about the love part? I was asking somebody, I said, what does that scripture say? God has not given me a spirit of fear, or he has given me a... God has given me a spirit of power and of a sound mind. That's what they said. I said, what about the love part? Oh, there's a love part in there? Yeah, guess what? There's a love part in there. And guess what? Love is the most important thing. The greatest of those things is love. I love the songs. You know, we sang about love casting out fear this morning. Did you catch that? So we have the spirit of love dwelling in us. But see, we're not the ones that are bound. The Holy Spirit's the one that's bound. Right? We're free. We're free to make the choice. So when we sing, you know, break the chains, Lord, how about we sing, break the chains for the Holy Spirit, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit free. Let the Holy Spirit free. I've been free long enough doing my own thing, and the Holy Spirit is just tight. Do you know you could bind the Holy Spirit? It's funny because a couple things throughout this preparation of the message, I heard Tina Turner singing, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" So I said, okay, so that's the title of my message today, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" And then I heard throughout the entire time of preparation, Dr. Martin Luther King saying, "I have a dream." Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream to see the church body acting like the church body? Do you have a dream to see people loving each other? The heart of God being free to minister to his people. You being his arms, his legs, his mouth, his whatever. Do you have a dream for that? That's my dream. That's his dream. And it should be your dream too. I even went online to listen to the whole speech, and it was a good speech. And the part that kept stinging out to me was, I have a dream. You know, we need to have a vision that goes beyond today, right? And that's part of what we're doing with our strategic planning, the FWC reach, and we've involved everyone. That's part of what we're trying to do, is create a vision that's further than just today or tomorrow or the next day. And we can feel God breathing. We can feel his pleasure in the process. And we're keeping him very much involved in the process and not making decisions or moves unless we hear from him first. Because that's what it's going to take to move the church forward. That's what it's going to take to glorify him. So how many of us will pray in our prayer time, Lord, Lord, move in me. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Don't let me get in the way. But when he starts giving direction, take the direction. He'll start small. He's good that way. You know, it might be call somebody. Start with that. And then maybe it'll be go visit somebody, and then who knows how far he wants to take it. But keep it in his hands, and he'll take it as far as he wants to. That's the point, right? John 13:34. Not there? We'll do this, and then I'm done, really. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's pretty clear, right? It's pretty plain. I think the Bible even says, hey, they will know you are my disciples by your love. That's how people are going to know us, by his love operating in us, through us. So I think it is, this is how the Lord tells us what's coming. This is one of the ways he explains to us what he's doing, right? We get a message like this, he's saying, you know, make sure that the gifts are operated in the right motivation and in the right heart, because they're coming. The gifts are coming. I believe that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we better be ready for the gifts, because the gifts can destroy us if we're not ready? It can destroy us. So, Father, we acknowledge what it is that you're doing in this season. We thank you for the heads up. We thank you, Lord, for letting us know that what is coming down the pike is something that you're doing in us, Lord. Thank you for letting us know that the gifts are going to be released. You know, those warring angels that are fighting not to free us, but to free the Holy Spirit. You know, they're going to come in and they're going to break the chains, and they're going to release the Holy Spirit. They're not coming to save us. We're saved. They're coming to release the Holy Spirit. So let that be part of your prayer. Meditate on it. Meditate on the fact that the gifts are going to be released. Meditate on how, Lord, do I need to prepare for that release? What's my role? What's my plan? Question the things that you're doing now and ask him if those are the things you should be doing. Pray that the Spirit of love be free to operate in you and through you. And then we will see him do great things. When we operate in love, it frees him. You know, the Bible says that he inhabits our praises, right? He also inhabits our good works, if they're done with his heart. You know, faith without works is what? Love without works is what? It's dead. So let's put some feet to our love. Let's put some hands to our love. Let it be his love, which is unconditional, and not our love, which is temporary at best. Amen? Thank you.